All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest this evening is Ted Tweetmeyer, and we're delighted to have him back with us. Ted Tweetmeyer is an electronics engineer, inventor, entrepreneur kind of guy, and he teaches. Ted, do you still teach?
Well, unofficially, I don't call myself a professor, but I find myself performing in that role more often than I expected to.
Well, welcome back to the show. We're delighted to have you back.
Yes, it's good to be here. It's been a long, long time.
It has been. It's been a very long time. And there's been lots of stuff happening in the world of the strange and unexplained. And you pretty much operate in that world just like I do, or, in a different capacity. But you deal with the strange and unexplained, as I also do. And I want to dive into some of that. But we talked on the phone, and when we talked on the phone, you brought up the concept that perhaps we're living in some sort of a simulation.
Yes, and there is actually quite a huge amount of evidence that we are, and that perhaps it has been reset more than once to wipe out most of the useful evidence of a previous simulation.
Well, and what are we talking about when you say we live in a simulation? What really are we talking about there?
Well, I guess you could almost say, you know, we could almost ask the question, is reality continuously being re-engineered, you know, almost second by second? You know, if you, one of the strange realms is that if you are driving somewhere and you focus on a parking spot you want free, more often than not, it will be free. Now, you know, you say, now how can that be? Well, let's say that the control system knows that at some point in the future, let's say 10 minutes from now when you get to a parking lot, it already has predetermined who's going to get to park there. So if you access the system by your thoughts, which occur at the quantum level and can transcend 3D space and time, which is necessary to get outside of the reality or simulation that we're in. If you do that, you can actually cause it to change. You know, in fact, there's been around for a few years now something called the secret, and they refer to it as thinking stuff in the universe is their term. But I think there's a lot more to it than just some etheric, indescribable thinking stuff. I think there is clearly an intelligence behind it, and you know, people like Jerry Wills have spoken in person to those controlling the reality, and he told me, and a direct quote from him is that what he was told is, the simulation is everything you know of the Earth, even the universe as you perceive it. But it has grown out of our control, grown out of control, rather, excuse me. And that's what he was told. And when we see these hiccups in our reality, you see something repeat, you see the same person come out of a building with only one exit twice, and I have friends that have seen this, and no, they weren't smoking anything, but, you know, these things do occur. And there can be repetitions, there can be jumps. These are little hiccups, you might say, in the flow of reality. Because I don't know if you could say the flow of time. What's time? Okay? What really is time? Do you realize everything we consider time, it's based on the sun. Even electronics, time is measured in seconds to petaseconds, you know, femtoseconds, nanoseconds, milliseconds, microseconds. It's all based on time. But what does that mean? You know, if we were not in an orbit around a star, what would we be using for time? You know, I mean, you know, if we were not, excuse me, correct myself, we were not rotating, all right, which is where, of course, the time comes from. But ultimately, it, you know, the spin of the Earth is a function of its early formation, where it was spun around, you know, the spin was imparted when it was rotating the sun and as it was being assembled, if you will. So, I'm getting a little ahead of myself.
I mean, it's simple that the solar system is a huge clock.
It is. It is, and the flow of time is different. And whether you're on the surface or in orbit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if you're in orbit long enough, you're technically out of sync with the time on Earth, but it's not noticeable because it's such a very, very small amount. But here's a curious case of distance and time. The original Voyager spacecraft, 1 and 2, were launched in 1976 and are still functioning. Now, this should not be so. All right, they contain something called traveling wave tube technology, which was used to amplify and transmit microwaves. And that technology was all there was in 76. There were no solid-state electronics, really, that could do that. So they used, literally, traveling wave tubes. The same is used in the Inelsat series satellites. Now, Inelsat retired those satellites after 5 years because they began to lose signal strength and the pictures became noisy. Now, here we are, since 1976,
mm-hmm.
and these satellites are still sending data back. Why haven't they aged? You know, why haven't they stopped functioning? I mean, they have far surpassed their design lifetimes by magnitudes. I mean, it is an insane amount. And yet they're still working. They're sending back just empty star fields, but they are sending back data about solar wind and so forth, and sending back information that surprised everybody. And, you know, they can't really make sense of the data, but it is coming back, and it's consistent.
Yeah, and at least one of them, maybe both, are, but at least one is right out at the edge of our solar system, to the point where some scientists say it is now beyond our solar system, and some scientists say, nah, not quite yet. So it's at the hairy edge.
Yeah, and it's moving at a pretty good clip out there, but it's still functioning. You know, and it's been an incredibly hostile environment. Micrometeorites, 420 below zero. You know, it's an insanely hostile environment. It amazes me that it's still working. But it is, and it's as though it's almost in another time frame, you know, that...
Let's go back to what you were talking about. Like where you see a guy come out of the building and you blink and here he comes out of the building again. We've had people who have called in and have told us various stories, passing a truck. And then, 5 minutes later, they're passing the same truck with the same numbers.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes later, they're passing it again. That's one story that we've had. And there are others. Here's the deal. If this is like a little time jump as a result of a reset on the simulation or something, or it's a little hiccup in the simulation, the fact that we notice it, doesn't that mean that essentially we exist apart from that simulation, though we're in it?
Well, it's an environment, you know. excuse me, you could almost think of... you know, if you buy, let's say you go buy a new version of Windows to run on your computer or something.
That's
program.
A big mistake, but yeah.
Well put. But especially when they don't get near it, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, Ted, we've lost your audio. You're back.
I don't know where I got cut off.
Well, the deal was that you were explaining that we're in an environment, and you'd said it's like if you buy windows. And I said, big mistake. And about then, somebody, I guess, decided to turn audio down for us. But
okay.
You know, right. I'm not real sure, but I think Microsoft owns Skype, and I'm speaking to you via Skype. So maybe they didn't like what I said about their product.
There's just nothing like freedom of speech, is there?
What is that?
Well, I don't know. I think some guys wrote about that with a quill pen about 400 years ago, but not important right now. On that one,
it's about as dead as they are now.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like an environment.
It's like an environment. See, if you got a disc, you know, a CD, I'll occasionally prompt a noise from you, so I'll know I'm not talking to a dead line again.
Okay.
Excuse me. So, you know, if you have software which is pressed onto a CD, and it's useless unless it runs in a computer.
Right.
Right? Okay. So if something happens to the hardware of the computer, then that code may not run properly or run at all.
Okay.
Okay, so in a similar way, we're autonomously running, I don't like to use the word programs because that's too structured, but let's say we're autonomously running systems, and we're within a larger environment. So that larger environment, we count on that to be consistent day by day, and we don't expect things. We don't expect to see wrinkles in it or things which shouldn't occur. You know, like, there have been cases, excuse me again, pardon me, there have been cases of, after a tornado, a tire, you know, an empty tire with no rim, is found with a utility pole up the middle of it. I saw that photo years ago.
Yeah.
You know, or a piece of straw, rather, is driven into a pane of glass, which, you know, and it sticks out the other side. Shouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are apparently split seconds in time when matter can pass through matter, and then it becomes solid again. Excuse me. That would explain both of those occurrences. So,
well, yeah, what I was saying, though, is that, yeah, we're in this environment, but the fact that we can notice a jump or a glitch in the environment, I think, would indicate that though we're in this environment, we are somehow apart from it.
Well, we have a freedom to move around in it, much like a fish swimming in the ocean, when you think about it.
Okay.
But isolated from other celestial bodies, mainly by what we think of as distance. Many of us can remember in school being told the closest star is 100 light years away, and it was Alpha Centauri. Remember that?
Yeah.
Now it's believed to be like 4 light years or something, a very small number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of the assumptions are made based on just pure theory, but they become fact and are taught as fact. But in reality, there's nothing to substantiate it.
Well, that's true. And I've talked about this before, and I'm glad you brought that up. The whole deal about distance in our universe, you know, that's all based on measurements made by machines, and those machines have limitations. So whenever they say, well, the universe is, we'll say, 17 billion years old. Okay, let's just use that number. That's based on the redshift.
Right.
Okay, well, redshift is a function both of distance and speed and the limitations of the machine.
Yeah.
And so if you could take that machine and go 17 billion light years away and set it up, I bet you could see another 17 billion.
Well, this is, I have real problems, and some of the younger astronomers are being vocal about the same kinds of things. For example, many of them are finally realizing the idea of the Big Bang is utter nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You take infinite amounts of matter and pack it into an infinitely small spot. I mean, that's just too stupid to even comprehend such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some astronomers have been vocal on some documentaries about that, saying, you know, this is nonsense. And of course, it was Ariel and Penzias that, it was in the 50s when they pointed a horn toward the sky and found the frequency of hydrogen everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was really that and the belief in the redshift that said, well, everything is moving away. But is it? That's the question, you know, is it? There's a lot of questions there. So the idea of the Big Bang is really based on some very, very skimpy data, and there's no way to empirically know.
No, it is a point of religion in the religion of science, though. It's one of the pillars of the faith.
Yes,
hey,
it is.
We have to step away for a break, and we will be back right after this, so don't go away, folks. We're talking about the possibility that we live in a simulation. I chuckle at that not because I think it's impossible, but because even if it's possible, it's comical. And the reason I say it's comical is because there are so many things we think are so important that if we are in a simulation, they're not all that important. Are you with us, Ted?
Yeah, and that's probably one of the reasons why it's one of the best-kept secrets, because it could cause people to lose hope in any sense of accomplishment in life.
Well, it could, but you know, if we're in a simulation, then if that's a fact, then it just is. And if we didn't know that yesterday, and we now know it today, nothing functional really has changed in terms of what we have to do to function in this environment.
Well, you know, here's the thing about it, okay? You know, take physics, all right? We have all these different theories which are somewhat disconnected in physics. You know, and they come up with the exceptions and special relativity and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Who explain things? You know, physicists are almost probably the perfect apologists, because someone who's not in their profession won't have a clue what they're saying, so they'll tend to believe them. It seems to be human nature. But to get to it, all right, you have to have an explanation for reality that fits everything. There can't be exceptions. You can't have exceptions for this and that. You know, it's just like when someone finds something that doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a necklace inside a piece of coal. They dismiss that. That's not relevant, you know, because they don't want to try to explain that. You know, this is supposed to be material that's been on the earth long before, you know, there was any animals walking around, and yet there are objects found inside a coal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take, for example, the Bigfoot phenomena. These things have been spotted pretty much in every state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they real? I would say there's so much evidence of it, and many photos, that, you know, that some of the evidence is really quite amazing.
Well, I'll tell you something. They even have DNA. They've done DNA tests now on 109 samples. And the report came out, I think it was last week, from the group of people that did this DNA testing, Dr. Melba Ketchum and some international groups as well involved in that. And they've said not only is this real, it is human, and it's a hybrid between human and some unknown species.
And this is what was leading me up to my next statement, and that is, what if these are interdimensional beings? That's why they don't hang around. They're not found dead. They just seem to come and go at will. And maybe they very well can do that. They know how to walk between our dimension and another. And that other dimension might be a planet filled with their people and mm-hmm. nothing else but their people.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be billions of them on another planet. The same for the Greys. One man who is, I'm talking about, who has killed Greys, he said they vanish when you kill them.
Mm-hmm.
They disappear. So it's as though they have to concentrate to remain in this reality. And when they can no longer do that, they go back to where they came from, which is probably just as good as they do. The planet would probably be littered with them. So, if reality is not exactly what we perceive it to be, then what is it? Well, then it's almost like a scaffold to build our existences on. It's a structure. If you think about it, if you didn't have your five senses, you'd have no idea what the world is. If you didn't have two of the senses, it'd be really hard pressed to know. You couldn't see or hear. And we base our reality on what we see and hear. But, the eye can be fooled. Here's an example, okay? When you're outside at night and you're playing ball with somebody, when the sun gets down to a certain level and someone throws a ball to you, it'll appear and disappear on its way to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that is because you reach something that scientists call photon starvation. And that is the point where the cones don't function very well anymore, and yet it's not quite dark enough for the rods to kick in. So it's almost like a form of blindness in a way. You can't mm-hmm. perceive an object that's moving quickly. You don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Response.
Yeah, you're kind of in the twilight zone.
Yeah, in a way it is, because it is twilight.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we believe the ball isn't really coming and going from our reality. We're convinced it's staying in our reality as someone throws it to you. But from what I've been able to find, based on some empirical work and observations, that there is a system of tags, if you will. In programming, they're known as pointers. All right, so everything in a computer today is what they call object programming.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is an object.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and there is a table where the location of the objects are on the screen. So if you grab a window with a pointer, with a mouse, for example, and move it around, all the objects in that window move with it. When you go to a website, you see all these things being loaded up, all these pictures and graphics and what have you. They're all being stored to be at a relative spot on the screen so they appear to be within the window. That's what the operating system does, whether it's a Mac, PC, or whatever. Now, so you have these numerical values that indicate where these things are. And there is a very similar, very long tag attached to every object. So you have a vase sitting on a table. When you place the vase on the table, that in the control system identifies that object as being in that location. If you move the table, both of the pointers to those two objects move together, and the objects move together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this kind of strangeness with reality comes in a lot of forms. One man wrote me and he said that he had been working as a custodian, and he was vacuuming a floor, and some coins fell out of midair and landed on the carpet. Just came right out of nowhere in a building he was all alone in. There's, I've got lots and lots of accounts from people in some detail of what they've run into. And I guess for me it all started several years ago when I was driving through Pennsylvania and was north of a town called Seelands Grove, which if you threw a dart in the center of a map of Pennsylvania, you'd hit Seelands Grove if you hit it right in the middle. And it was 11 at night on a Christmas Eve, and my wife and I were going southbound on Route 15 into the town, and there was the big green metal sign like you see on interstates, and said, you know, Seelands Grove, next exit. And then where it said, should say 2 miles, the digit 2 was pixelating as clear as day. And I said to my wife, I said, do you see that? Do you see what I'm looking at? She says, yeah, I see it. What is it? And just about the moment we're going to pass it, it turned into digit 2. She saw what I saw. I wasn't hallucinating. I was amazed at that. And it got me really thinking.
So, how do you account for it?
Well, the best account I can give, I mean, best theory I can say is that the simulation, for whatever reason, the sign graphic wasn't functioning right or completed yet or whatever you want to call it. But it clearly happened. It looked just like the pixelation you get if you take a JPEG image and enlarge it, you know, 100 times. You can't see anything but blocks, and that's what the digit 2 looked like. Then it instantly changed. We're just about going past it.
Well, let me, you know, one of the things you mentioned is that this disjointed thing, you mentioned it in physics, where it's a bunch of theories that are not really all that connected, and sort of this disjointed thing that happens with time and matter. Have you ever heard Kevin's unified field theory?
I don't think so.
Well, you better put your seatbelt on, make sure your tray is in the upright position, and you know, because here it is. Whatever is, is. And here's, and that sounds flippant, but here's what I mean by that. The universe did not attend the same universities as the PhDs. And it does what it wants to do. And whether we can figure out how and why it's doing it, that's one issue. We may never figure it out, but it is doing what it is doing. And you mentioned objects being found in coal. Okay, now they will say it's an anomaly. No,
yeah,
it's a fact, and whatever is, is. There it is. We may not can explain it, but what makes the unified field is that what is just is. And, you know, when we can't explain things, that says something about us, not about the universe. But what science tries to do is if we can't explain it, we ignore it. And we stuff everything into the explanations we've already built. If we can't get it stuffed in there, it's an anomaly and we ignore it. You never are going to have a unified field theory that way, because what is just freaking is. It just is. And
but you see, Kevin, everything has a reason, has a cause and effect.
Yeah, but we may not be able to discover that in every case.
We may not even understand it.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, that's the problem. Okay, if we open our minds a little bit and say, look, these things happen, they exist. You know, there are cities. I live at Pumapunku. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Pumapunku.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Up there, high near Lake Titicaca, mm-hmm. in this city, with all these massively, perfectly formed, interlocking blocks that they figure dates back about 75,000 years, with deep channels and perfectly spaced holes drilled in the bottom of the channels. Absolutely impossible with the best hand tools of today, and yet this predates the pyramid by many, many thousands of years, which insanely archaeologists claim was built with copper tools. I mean, but
well, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly those are exact examples of what I'm talking about, where they try to stuff everything into the explanations they've already got, but they don't fit.
Yeah, and they're just, unfortunately they have been brainwashed. There's no other word for it,
All right, we have to step away for a break for just a moment. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour. And, I'm 15 minutes ahead of myself because the second hour has not yet started. But if you are just joining us, my sincere sympathy for whatever you've missed. We're talking about the idea that maybe we're living in a simulation. How about that? And we're talking with Ted Tweetmeyer about that. Ted has, of course, been around the UFO field and the weird stuff field for a long time. He's written lots of articles. Very, very interesting articles. He's been a guest on this show a number of times. And, as I said, he's like an electronics, kind of a electronics, geek, guru. He's an engineer. He's an inventor. He invents stuff with electronics, and he does some teaching as well. So we're talking about maybe being in this simulation. And we were talking about that, you went to Pumapunku, and there's these massive blocks that are obviously machine-tooled. And I've never been there, but I've seen lots of good close-up, high-definition pictures. I've talked to people who have been there. Obviously machine-tooled. And predate the pyramids, and yet they try to say that these were built by primitive people with primitive tools. It just can't be, and that is an example of what I was saying, that the real unified field theory is whatever is just is. We may not know its cause, we may not know its reason, but it is, and we have to be accepting of the fact that it is. However, the fact that it is, and it's right here on this earth, and it predates the pyramids, then that sort of tells us, doesn't it, that there is a possibility there's been a reset, and that there was, at one point, some high-tech people living here.
Absolutely, and the reason I say reset is because there isn't a single character or name or any kind of language on any of all those objects up there. And that, to me, was quite fascinating. How could that not have something engraved in it or something on it or near it to identify who these people were?
Well, I don't know. Let's think about that. Let's take one of our skyscrapers. The cornerstone might have some of that on it. It likely would be a plaque. But the rest of the building might not have any anything written or engraved on the structure.
I don't know. Some of them got some mighty big signs on them, but...
Yeah, but, because, I mean, 75,000 years from now, those wouldn't necessarily survive.
No, they would be crumbled away.
Yeah. But what little bit remains 75,000 years from now of some skyscraper that we've built, if anything remains, would likely be, for instance, the big pillars of reinforced concrete up through the center of it, that sort of thing. And they would not necessarily be inscribed.
But the bottom line is this, that technology was built, those structures were built with technology that wasn't supposed to exist.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem, you know. And that's something that, of course, archaeologists are, well, we don't want to talk about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and these things, all kinds of strange things are being found, sometimes just stumbled upon by sheep herders or what have you. You know, there's some ancient structures in Turkey that are underground. I mean, you know, they're all over the place on the planet. You know, who built them and how the heck did they do it? You know, but they did. You know?
Yeah, there's one underground city there in Turkey that I think they said that you could house 40,000 people in it.
Yeah, it goes on for like a couple miles or something. I mean, it's huge.
And it's like 23 stories down into the earth.
Yeah, and we've, you know, with 2012 and all, I mean, there's been a huge amount of talk about the Mayans, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do they know what they knew? They had no real way of knowing, you know? Everything was pretty primitive at best. So who told them, or how did they find out? You know, there's all kinds of...
So you think that is evidence of being in a simulation?
Well, I think it just might be possible that from time to time the people that work on the simulation show up, like they did to me once, LaGuardia Airport.
Oh, now we got to hear about this.
Oh, well... This boggled my mind, and if I wasn't on my way to a conference I was being sent to go to, I would have spent more time exploring it. So it was 2009, April, and we were in the airport, and, you know, we landed, and due to my wife's disability, the wheelchair met us at the plane. This was one of those ear-pounding turboprop jobs. I hope I never ride another one again. And SkyCap wheeled us past, on the tarmac, past a couple jetways and into a corner entrance of the airport. And I'm thinking, oh, God, there's going to be a mob of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Was I wrong? There was a woman at a podium, like some type of TSA person, and the only baggage going around on the first carousel was ours. There wasn't a passenger in the place. The other carousels were running. It was like, I think, four or five total, and not another piece of baggage or a person elsewhere. And yet I got off a pretty crowded plane. Go figure that one out. So I went over and grabbed one of those flat carts, you know, with the handles at each end, and loaded everything on there. And waiting right there, like right on cue, was a man in black. And he's standing right at the little wrought iron gate where you come out of the baggage area. And he was Asian, thinly built. I'm 5'11". He was about my height. And there was another man in black, built like a football player, standing at the street exit. Also, both of them wearing wraparound sunglasses. And I, both of them standing at like a parade rest. So, in the, you know, the baggage machinery makes a whole lot of racket, you know, even if there's nothing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the SkyCap turns to me. He and my wife were in front of me, and I'm holding coats and whatnot, and he turns to me, and he bent over to her, and then he turned to me, and he says, your wife wants to know if she can get a, you know, can I wheel her over for a drink at the drinking fountain? I said, of course. He pointed to it. It was about 20 feet away. He pushes her over there, and I'm now standing right next to the man in black. If I extended my left arm out, I would have hit him. He was that close. And he takes a step closer, one step, and he says, "What are you doing?" This is exactly the dialogue. And knowing these guys are confounded fairly easily, I said, "What do you mean, what am I doing?" He thinks for a moment, then he says, "Why are you here?" And I said, "What do you mean, why am I here?" Now he thought for a moment again, and he said, "Sightseeing?" I said, "Yeah, I'm sightseeing." Of course, I wasn't, but he took one step backward.
Mm-hmm.
I then turned straight ahead again and looked at the guy at the door, and I just rolled my eyes at the ceiling because I don't get intimidated very easily. And he kind of turned to the side and looked down at the floor almost as though he was embarrassed, but he didn't move an inch. My wife came back, and I wheeled the stuff out to the curb, and that was the last I saw of them, or so we thought. And that was the first of three encounters. The other two times they just showed up. One was in a Wendy's restaurant. Another one was in a doctor's office, and when they confirmed we were in a doctor's office, they turned right around and went out. And
what do you think their interest was in you?
Well, because I discovered something. I discovered a phenomena that I've since found out nobody can explain or knows about it.
All right. We have to step away for a break. We'll come back with that. Your discovery right after this. Blood red of the official photographs, but a light sandy red like we have in many places here on Earth. And they're going to discover a great many more things that will be very, very important to the survival of our species right back here on Earth. It's not too far into the future. A lot of nations with space programs have their eyes set on Mars. It's not entirely NASA's ballgame anymore. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And now it is time for me to say welcome to those of you who are joining us just now in the second hour. I'm delighted you've joined us, and you have my sincere sympathy for whatever kept you away from the first hour. Talking with Ted Tweetmeyer tonight, and we're talking about lots of weird stuff. At the moment, we're right in the middle of this amazing story of his encounter with some men in black, actually several encounters. And I had asked, so what was their interest in you? And Ted, you said it's because you discovered something. What was it?
Well, I discovered that you can, how shall I put this, establish a link with at the quantum level with the control system. I can't get into a lot of details, but it was something I came upon while working on a technology some knowledgeable people in physics I know really had no explanation for it, but apparently it got somebody's attention somewhere.
And did they harass you other than just show up at these places? Did they say anything to you other than what they said, the one said to you there at the airport?
They haven't really harassed me too much. You know, I think they know that I won't put up with any crap from them. That might be one of the reasons. No more than you would, you know. I mean, you don't have to put up with it. But they, I think that it may have created a disturbance, put it that way. You know, and because there's apparently some things, you know, we're not allowed to know or perhaps work on, and this could very well be one of them.
Okay, now, what was your take on these guys? I mean, you were close enough to reach out and touch one. You talked to him. He talked to you. I asked you some pretty nutty questions. What's your take? Are these guys humans from Earth, or are they here as representatives of the controllers?
You know, I think they show up when something out of the norm occurs. You know, and people that have been abducted have run into them. People that have had close encounters have run into them. You know, they, excuse me a moment. They seem to apparently take some interest in that. In fact, they showed up, you might recall that story about the base, you know, where the bunkers were scanned by a vehicle overhead. You recall that story?
I'm not sure that I do.
Well, there was one of the military bases, and I apologize, I don't have the name of it on hand, but it has been well documented that some guards on duty that night, some type of disc-shaped vehicle showed up overhead, hovered, and a grid of white lines was scanned.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and what happened, right? The men in black showed up. They took charge of the whole situation, and they took them in a building one by one and interrogated them and intimidated them,
mm-hmm.
you know, to shut up and not talk about it and so forth. And so they seem to, you might call them the fixers, you know?
Yeah, but who are they? Are they from Earth, or are they not from Earth and represent the controllers of the simulation?
Here's my take on it. Right? If you run a computer simulation, which you can do with, you know, with various mechanical electronic programs, like, for example, you can build a circuit in a, you know, in software in a computer and run it and actually see how it's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. they call those, you know, simulation programs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't have a monitor connected, you don't have any idea what's going on. You have no clue.
Right.
And it very well may be a similar thing, just on a much, 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 much bigger scale with the people that control our reality. And that is, you know, they can control it, but they can't really directly interact with the people in the system. So they send these guys in mm-hmm. to talk to people like us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and try to find out what they're seeing and so forth. And maybe certain types of events, some encounters and what have you, would be damaging to the control system in some way that maybe we don't fully understand.
So these are representatives of the controllers.
That's who I think they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, they seem to be like fixers, the damage control people.
Now, did you get the sense that they were... I mean, how can I say this? Were they like real people, or were they more like avatars?
You know, some people have said they have slits for pupils instead of normal pupils. That I don't know. I didn't say, hey, take your sunglasses off, which you probably would not do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I figured asking for ID would be pointless, because he'd pull out something that was probably fictitious or created to look real. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you think about it, how do you identify someone? You know, this is like the problem in some states where they stopped using unmarked cars because some sick, twisted people were using cars made to look like unmarked cars. You know, they put lights behind the grill and everything, and if they saw a woman alone, they'd pull her over and then hurt her, you know,
yeah.
because it,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's a similar thing. You know, how do you know what's real? You know, that's the question. What is real? You know, what's real? What's authentic? What's valid? You know.
Well, yeah, I think what's valid is a better question, because you take the example of the guys in the fake cop cars. that's happened in a lot of places around the country,
yeah.
Over the years. So, are they real? Yeah, they are real. Are they valid as cops? No, they're not. But they are real. They're just real bad. And I think there's a whole lot in our reality that it is real. It's here. It's real. But some of it's real bad, you know, and some of it's not. But now these guys, what's interesting about these men in black are the stories where people say, well, you know, it's like they showed up, but their mode of dress was not modern. It was black suits, but not modern cut. Their car was not a modern vehicle. And it's almost like the controllers haven't kept up with the fashions being created by their creation.
Well, that's possible, I suppose. Yeah, that the costume department needs a revamp job.
Did you, when you answered his question with questions, did it seem to confuse him?
Yeah, it took him several seconds to respond, which is just exactly what I've heard from other, read about other accounts, that it doesn't take much to confound these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are some accounts of them getting pretty pushy, but that seems to be in a private setting. But here's the thing. All right, this is the thing that bugs me. It's not so much who these guys are, where they came from. How did they manage to empty an entire baggage area of a major airport at 2:00 in the afternoon on a weekday? How did they manage to do that? How did they know? But you see, if you had control of reality, you could do that. If you have control of a simulation of, in your computer or what have you, you can make anything happen any way you want it to. And,
have you ever seen this movie called Dark City?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've often quoted that movie in my essays, yeah.
That is one of the most fantastic, mind-bending movies I have ever seen.
Yeah, it is. And it shows what happens if you push too far.
Yeah.
You might find something you didn't expect. And it was that city. It was always in the dark. It was always at night. It was always circa 1940s or so. And every night, for those of people that haven't seen it listening, every night the city was rebuilt. Buildings would go down on the ground and new ones would shoot up. And these guys with these antique-looking syringes would walk around and give people new memories that they didn't have before, right?
Yeah.
But it was the final scene in the film where the camera pulls out, and you realize it's a city on an asteroid going through space.
Yeah. Yeah, and what was weird is when people would wake up in the morning, they may or may not still be married to the same person. However, let's say it's a different person. Their memory would match the memory of the person they woke up with. Both would have a matched memory and would remember having been married forever. And there would be, all the pictures and everything in the house would be, would match that. But it would change every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And almost in a similar way, some abductions going on are pretty similar in a lot of ways to this very thing. That give people what they call screen memories, a memory of something that didn't happen to fill the space. And when people get hypnotized or somehow break through the screen memory, then they see the real horror of what did happen.
I was asked one time after I had mentioned that dark city, in a show. This was several years ago, and I was asked, what if that's going on, and you really were not a talk show host yesterday? And the thing that I would throw down as an anchor is, yeah, but I've got the archives.
Well, I got to tell you something, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It was probably 7 years ago when I saw the most absolute mind-bending thing happen. Absolutely mind-bending. All right, so I have a circuit board.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Permanent circuit board is just that. It's a permanent, we'll just for simplicity call it copper patterns on both sides of a insulating material,
mm-hmm.
to which electronic parts are attached. So this was a new board design. It was working just fine. I went home. I came back the next day, and it didn't work. I thought, this is impossible, and I'm staring at this. And then I see something that blew my mind out. I see two, normally on a circuit board, conductors go, say, vertically on one side, horizontally on the other.
Okay.
There was a vertical and horizontal trace on the same side of the board that shorted out the power to the board. After I looked at that and stared at that in disbelief, because it wasn't there the day before, I took an X-Acto knife and cut the trace and jumped over it, and the board worked again. And I brought somebody down the hall, one of the scientists. I said, you've got to see this. This is bending my frame a lot here. You know, he just shook his head. He didn't know what to make of it. You know, mm-hmm.
So what do you think happened?
It's as though perhaps I was moved from one reality to another and I didn't know it. Because it was functioning the day before when I went home. It was working. You know.
Tweetmeyer, you know, that is weird.
It is absolutely weird. One of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Now I'll tell you another weird thing.
Uh-huh.
You've heard about clock stopping, haven't you?
Oh, right? Yeah.
People pass away.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, when I wrote about the reality simulation, a woman who's passed away now named Martha Crowe, the American expat living over in Europe, wrote me, because she read what I had written, and she was all excited that finally somebody understood what she had been seeing. She lived in, I think it was Holland, but she saw streets transformed. She often walked. She played in a band, and she often walked from her home to where she was going to play. And there'd be a store spring up on this little residential street that wasn't there the day before. It was a vacant lot the day before. And this one particular street seemed to every now and then have a business appear or disappear. Well, and she told me about how when her husband killed her, what it was like in the spirit world in great detail.
Her husband killed her and she's talking to you?
Well, I'll explain it.
Okay.
The longest email I ever got in my life. You know, went on for pages, all single spaced. Very articulate. And she explained to me how, you know, she was making trouble for, you know, drug manufacturers. I mean, making illegal drugs and stuff, and causing general anarchy when she was up in that world. And anyway, one thing led to another, and she was basically kicked out, sent back to hers, and she said that she wasn't sure it really happened, and she was sent back to the moment that her husband had suffocated her. She wasn't sure it actually happened until she began to meet people on the street that knew her by name, and she didn't quite remember them. She had met them in this life, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, eventually Martha died a couple of years ago. I believe it was a heart problem. I came into my office the next day, and a quartz clock on the wall is stopped. Yeah, they've been running for a very long time, and I thought, it's a dead battery. Well, I replaced the battery, and that movement will never work again, apparently. It will not keep time. The second hand just goes back and forth in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it a coincidence? I don't know. It seems pretty strange coincidence. You know, as cheap as quartz clocks are, they do tend to run nearly forever, you know.
About you, Ted, you live and operate in the world of the strange and unexplained. But the thing is, you recognize it as strange and unexplained, and you accept the fact that it is strange and unexplained. instead of trying to stuff it into some theory where it doesn't fit, and when it doesn't fit, discard it. And I appreciate that about you. Let's open the phone lines. You and I will continue to talk, but let's open the phone lines and invite the audience to join us. Folks, you've heard some of the weirdest stuff here tonight you're ever going to hear, and there's more yet to come, I think. But the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call that number, or you can participate in the show by using our flash message option. You just go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it, over on the left side, you'll see a link that says flash message, and you can use that to communicate with us tonight. Ted, you said that you discovered a phenomenon that the controllers apparently were nervous about you knowing, and that's why these men in black showed up. What is it that made you determine that that's why?
Well, this phenomenon is very strange and pretty much unexplainable by today's current technologies, but I was able to detect objects at a considerable distance. For example, a metal detector, you know, works a couple feet away, and I developed something that detected objects 50 feet away, but it didn't work on anywhere nearly the same principles. It's a totally different technology, and it can also be used to detect IEDs, but perhaps the idea of saving lives is not supposed to be something to be done, you know?
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said okay.
You know, so perhaps it's related to that, but the curious thing is the detection system... This is my inventing. Until I did this about 150 times, it can sense what you're about to do before you do it.
Wow.
And that's a little problematic, but you're moving a test target, and you're about to reach for it, and then you get a detected signal as though you've moved it, okay? That's a bit of a pain for testing.
Yeah, I would think so.
The chicken egg situation, okay? So I'm working on resolving that, but the thing is, it may very well be connecting into a quantum-wise into the simulation. Let me give you another example.
Okay, let me say to our caller, just hang on. We'll be with you in just a moment. Go ahead, Ted.
An example is an interesting one, is the Bible code.
Mm-hmm.
The first five books of the Bible are, you know, pretty readable English, and yet there seems to be crammed in there all sorts of information. Now, my theory is the Bible code actually connects in at the quantum level to the control system, and things you're allowed to see show up in it, and things you're not will not. And because your computer is working at the quantum level, the processing is, you know, down at the electron level, so it's basically outside of space and time as we know it. And that's why it can make that connection.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, fascinating stuff tonight, gentlemen. This is pretty good stuff. Ted, I'm reading among the many books I'm reading right now. I'm reading one called Why Does the World Exist by Jim Holt. It's a fairly recent book. Have you read that book? Are you acquainted with it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's good stuff. I think you'd love it. It mentions a Russian physicist, or he's an American physicist now. He emigrated from Russia back in 1990. His name is Andrei Lind, and he has this creation theory called something like quantum explosion or chaotic expansion. That's what it is. And he, together with another physicist by the name of Muth, last name of Muth, M-U-T-H, have devised this system where he's come up with, he talks about the alleged Big Bang. You know, he answers the questions, what banged, why did it bang, and what was going on before it banged?
All good questions. Steve, we have to step away for a break. Can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
Okay. We will be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this break. You know, we've been around for a long time. Not quite this long, but a long time. And you have made that possible with your support of The Kevin Smith Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for supporting the show. With your continued support, we hopefully will be around for a lot longer. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Ted Tweetmeyer. And on the telephone with us is Steve from Georgia. So you're telling us, Steve, about this Dr. Lind.
Right. His theory basically states that it only takes about 1/100,000th of a gram of matter that has enough potential energy in it to explode and create everything that we see around us in our known universe. You know, it's got all that. And he posits that our universe that we know was created by someone in another universe just because he could. And I find that fascinating, and I find it resonates with a lot of what you're saying, Ted. But before you comment on that or whatever, I'd like to also bring up Paul LaViolette and his subquantum kinetics, where he says that creation is constantly, it's spontaneously arising from an etheric substrate being created moment by moment by moment, you know, and he disallows the Big Bang entirely, and I find that exciting too. So I'd like to hear your comments on those things.
Well, they're interesting theories. One of the theories I have about stars is that a sun is the other end of a black hole somewhere else. That, you know, that this business of saying that a black hole, well, light can't escape it, and yet they acknowledge there are jets of gas coming out the axes of it. Well, which is true, you know? If nothing, not even light, can escape it, where do these jets of gas come from that are seen? So, you know, are they really coming from the black hole? That's another matter. But so, yeah, there's a lot of things I believe that are not very well explained.
You're right. And Kevin, you remember back in the Halloween edition of your show, I talked about passing the same guy on the road in the mm-hmm. Southwest about four or five times before he finally passed right through me.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exciting stuff. Well, thanks for this show. This is really, really, really got my stuff going. Thanks, Kevin, for a great show, and thanks, Mr. Tweetmeyer, for being on this show.
You're quite welcome, and nice to speak with you.
All right, thanks, Steve. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 would be the number that will transport you. You know, it's this little thing you think is a telephone. It's actually a transporter. And if you put these coordinates in, 623-444-5889, it will transport you here to the studio, and you can talk with Ted Tweetmeyer. I have a flash message from Lindsay in the UK who wants to know about the Men in Black. Why do they always seem to speak English and they always seem to be in the United States?
Well, that's a good question. Is that always true? I don't know. Are they seen in other countries? I mean, that's a really good question. I don't know if anyone's ever really thought to ask before.
Well, I don't know the answer to that question either. I have heard people say that when the men in black speak, it's almost mechanical. It doesn't flow like normal human speech. It's almost mechanical. Did you notice that?
It sounded pretty normal to me. I don't think it was, you know, it was thinly spoken. You know, it was pretty quiet. If somebody was standing 5 feet away, you wouldn't have heard what he said. You know, who are these guys? I don't know. They do remind you of salesmen. They're missionaries. That's what they remind you of.
The guy that was standing at the door, you said, was built like a football player, right?
Oh, yeah. He was taller than me. Built pretty heavy. Yeah.
All right. Now, the one standing near you, you said, had Asian features.
Yeah, I could, you know, having worked with lots of Asian people, I could tell he was definitely Asian, even with the sunglasses, by the facial structure.
All right. So the guy at the door, what kind of features did he have?
He looked like an ordinary American type guy.
Or an ordinary American type guy?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know what I'm saying. The same build, same kind of facial features, like Caucasian, I think is the term, okay?
Yeah. But you know, even amongst Caucasians, there's an old joke. Now, folks, don't get your hackles up over this. There is an old joke, a line where people that are not white will say, oh yeah, we all look alike, right? But see, the same thing happens. A lot of those folks think all the white people look alike. But I can tell differences. If someone is, for instance, from one of the Slavic nations, I generally can tell that by the facial structure.
Right.
If they're Germanic, like my background, I can tell the facial features, you know. So this guy, did he have like Germanic or Slavic or North European, or what were his features?
What you can see, I mean, the cheekbone structure, you know, he could be, you know, a typical football player for, a university in America, you know, that type of guy, just a regular type guy.
Okay. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Oops. I pushed the wrong button, and I cut the caller off. I'm sorry, caller, you call back. That was an accident because I'm pushing buttons without looking at them, and I pushed the wrong one. I apologize.
Well, you could get a job in Washington.
Pushing buttons without looking?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Except then I wouldn't, if I worked in Washington, I would never apologize, you know. I'd just say, well, that's the way it is, you know. All right,
yeah.
Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show, and I am going to look as I push this button. All right, there we go. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Are you the one I cut off?
No.
Ooh. Well, to that caller, I'm quite sincere. I did not mean to cut you off. I pushed the wrong button. I reached over there, and I was flying by feel instead of looking at it. Rusty, what's on your mind?
Okay, hello, Ted.
Hey.
Hi. You mentioned something about that this lady told you things about the spirit world. Can you tell us, you know, did she speak things that you haven't heard before about the spirit world?
Well, apparently it was a whole lot like here, and she was there for a very long time. She had a husband. He went off to work every day in some building, but she didn't really know what he did. You know, it was a lifestyle thing that was apparently not all that different than here. She said she made it rain in heaven, so she was sent back to the moment her husband killed her, and her husband pulled a pillow off her, and he says, "I know I killed you. I know I did. I know I did." It was pretty amazing. I did know someone else in Europe who knew her, and she's a pretty credible person from what I found out. But, you know, again, it's one of those things, you know, we can't explain, but it somehow happened.
Was she still, you say spirit world, but was she still, like, in and around the earth somewhere?
Well, I guess it was kind of like another dimension, if you will, you know, separate from our reality is another reality, and probably many different realities, so that's where she was.
Okay, and one more question here, and it almost sounds like some of your stuff borders on the New Age kind of thing.
Actually, to be quite honest, I can't stand the whole New Age thing. In fact, I know who created it, and it was one of the three-letter agencies created it to distract people. You know, and I don't have a whole lot of regard for the whole New Age movement, and I'm sorry if it does sound like that, but it's not intended to be biased in any one direction. I just talk about things as I know them and the facts as I know them, that's all.
So, when you talk about changing reality, you're talking about changing the material world. So these people you're speaking of actually can change material things?
Well, what I saw definitely happened, and I was absolutely, you know, with that circuit board, was like, it's technically impossible, you know. It just can't happen. But it did. No, I don't know why it happened exactly, but you know, there are things happen, and the funny thing is, I was thinking about this a couple months ago. I went and pulled I had three or four extra blank circuit boards. I went and pulled them out, looked at them, and that short isn't on them. That's pretty freaky. Not there anymore. Gone. So, why it was done, I don't know. It could have just been somebody's little experiment. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. That's all I got. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right. The telephone lines are open, and I want to say again to the caller that I cut off, I apologize, and I hope you'll call us back. 623-444-5889. That's the number that will transport you here to this studio, and you can then talk with Ted Tweetmeyer.
623-444-5889. Sorry, go ahead.
Ted, with these circuit boards, have you tried to come up with an explanation for that?
I don't have one because I looked at the artwork and it's okay.
Uh-huh. So,
you know, so there isn't any explanation. There was only one version of that one done. It was a pretty simple little circuit board. But, you know, it had that problem on it that came and went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I, you know, having seen so many strange things in my life, and I don't know why I get to experience these things, but they are real. I'm quite normal. I don't ever do drugs or pills. I've never had any psychiatric disorders. These things just happen.
You know, well, let me ask you something about that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the movie Dark City.
Yeah.
Okay, now this movie, Dark City, we've talked about what the basic plot is. And the people wake up with a memory of being who they are that day. They have a whole lifetime memory that goes with it.
Right.
How sure are you that talking to me here today is the Ted Tweetmeyer that existed yesterday?
Well, I think I am. You know, excuse me, I believe there's a lot of things happen in our world that are not explained and made. Some there may be powers at work out there that don't want them ever explained.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever reason, you know. Here's one example.
Okay, well, hold that one example because we have this final break coming up, and we'll get to that right after the break. But remember that. Okay, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Ted Tweetmeyer. Ted, we have a caller online, and I think this call is from overseas, but I'm not sure. Caller, we'll get back to your point here in just a moment, Ted. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
It's John from overseas Vancouver Island.
Ah, I see. Okay. All right.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Ted.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I got one comment and one question.
All right.
I know people who tell me they parallel world travel. And one thing that they do is they pay very careful attention to their surroundings. And they look for clues. It could be as big as a building or as small as a glass of water they put on the counter and notice that it moved. So,
okay, and what is your question?
Okay, I've been interested in free energy for some time, but I've never put it together with the idea of the Matrix. So I'm just wondering, that must change your idea of free energy as it comes through a matrix. It's really different idea put together that way.
Well, there's an interesting thing about that. If you look at alternating current, direct current doesn't go very far because it uses the entire conductor. But alternating current can be transmitted many miles because it travels on the surface of the conductor, which happens to be the very place where the solid matter of the transmission line, you know, the power line, meets the surrounding space. So, you know, I think there's actually energy is actually obtained even at 60 cycles that way. So, I don't know if that's helpful to you or not.
Well, I guess that's why Tesla was into AC current for one thing.
Yeah,
but what I'm getting at is if you're talking about a matrix, something that's constructed or synthesized, I guess the energy has to come from somewhere. So it'd be like tapping into the matrix, not so much what we think is the vacuum.
Well, you know, we're in a continuum. And the theory goes that the Planck distance, which is the distance between the nucleus and the inner electron orbit, is supposed to be the smallest possible distance, you know, which is an insanely small number. But, you know, we're in a continuum that can be disturbed by very little. You know, there was a thing called a halogenic detector, which is nothing more than a big fat capacitor connected across an audio amplifier input. And at a Tesla conference, they stirred a bowl of water, a glass transparent bowl of water with a wooden spoon, and each time the spoon went around, they got a click out of the detector. But here's the freaky part. You could take the bowl of water away and the click would continue for a while. So, you know, you can actually get the continuum moving with a relatively modest amount of energy, and it will continue to move for some time, just like they have been able to, you know, dowsers have been able to pick up a trail left by a microwave generator from the day before. You know, a generator no bigger than a matchbox, relatively low power one. In this one documentary on dowsing, he beamed it across this open area that was doused previously as nothing there. He raised a garage door, turned this little box on, you know, that you could hold in your hand, and then turned it off and shut the door. And when the dowsers were brought back, they all got a reading right down that line. So you know, you can disturb the quantum space-time, if you will, or continuum, and it will stay that way for a while. And this is why I think when helicopters show up after people have had, you know, unidentified craft flying over their house, like UFOs or what have you, they can pick up, with a helicopter, they can pick up the signature of the disturbance in space-time, and they probably can tell what was there the night before, you know, just like, you know, sorry.
Well, they're kind of doing high-tech dowsing with their technology, aren't they?
In a way, yeah. You know, like just like submarine, you know, techs, they can tell what the vessel is overhead just by the signature of the propeller.
Mm-hmm. Okay, John, because of time, we've got to run, but I want to thank you for the call and a very interesting conversation as well. Ted, I want you to have time to make that point you were going to make, and we've got about 5 minutes here.
Kind of forgotten now what the
now see, I told you it's your responsibility to remember that, because I don't know what you were going to say. Oh,
there
my
was Three Stooges episode made, and somebody asked Curly where he came from. He said, I was one of a litter of five. The person asked, are you the one they kept? He said, no, I'm the one they threw away.
Yeah. Well, Ted, what's the last time that you had an encounter with these men in black?
It was about 3 years ago now. I haven't seen them lately.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be related to the things you're working on and what you're doing, you know, that gets their attention. And free energy is a real thing, you know. But it is one of the forbidden technologies, because we're in an oil economy, and that's the last thing the world they want, is to put a huge dent in the oil business, because the oil business is controlling everything. You look around you, everything is oil-based, even your clothes. So.
Well, yeah, and coming up with free energy would, if they release that suddenly, it would collapse the world economy.
And yeah, you know, the strange thing is there'd still be all these things that paint the plastics and whatnot made out of oil, but, you know, they might not be able to get their hooks into people to, you know, to fill their tanks. You know, people still have to buy rubber tires, you know, but even if, you know, just denting even a small percentage of that whole energy industry is apparently not forgivable.
Yeah, well, you know, you'd be getting into the pockets of the super wealthy at that point. And, of course, that's not permitted.
No,
Ted, I want to, we've run out of time, man. I want to thank you. This has been a fascinating show and went a completely different direction than I had expected it would go.
It often does with me,
yeah. Yeah. And if you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment, because I'd like to chat with you for a couple of minutes after we go off the air.
Sure.
All right. And again, thanks for being with us, folks. That's Ted Tweetmeyer.